updates on things that we are praying for. Who would like to go first? All right, yes.
Missy's friend that she works with that has cancer, started his chemo treatments and radiation, and probably now about a week and a half. And it's 5 days of radiation and then one day of chemo every week.
Okay.
And I don't know how many weeks it'll have to go.
Okay, so.
Ken.
Okay, so Jan's daughter, Missy, has a friend at work that is starting the cancer treatment, chemo. His name is Ken. And no knowledge about his salvation or anywhere on that, probably?
Missy says that he's saved. He's very involved in this church. And I guess that at times when they were working together, especially like when they pulled at the end of the month and had to work overnight, that they talked a lot about the Lord both together.
Okay.
She seems to think that he is saved, although she's never really asked him.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'll put Matt Wood on the spot. How's your mom doing?
She's doing well.
Okay, all right. We'll continue to pray for Matt's mom in the fourth week of chemo. So I know that's always different stages, Jan would know. So, all right, pray for her. Yes?
Our brother-in-law, Walt, back off, broke his hip.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, so pray for Lowell and Thyra's husband. And so he broke his hip surgery today. So. All right, yes, sir. Okay. Well, we are going to miss you and pray that this is only a temporary jaunt here. So, but so it's 2 weeks, kind of have a little bit of a time frame now. So, okay. All right. So, being able to be close to family and things, that will be a big help to you. So, we'll be in prayer for the Fortenberrys. They travel to Ohio and be living there for the foreseeable future. So, pray for God's strength and grace, and we will not forget to pray for you while you're away. So, be good. Yes, Samantha. Yeah, car trouble is not fun, especially when you got to go on a trip. So, all right. So. Okay. Oh boy. All right, so let's pray for Samantha's car and get fixed. So, yeah. Yes.
My friend Nicole is back at KU in Chicago.
Okay. Okay. Yes, yeah, so she had like an emergency surgery yesterday, right? That's right. So, okay, thank you. So, Nicole. Barnworth or Banworth, yeah. We've been praying for her. Aneurysm, is that right? Yeah, that's what she had before. So, was back in the hospital with some complications. So, praying for her. So, thank you. Yes, sir, James. Oh, no. Oh, okay. All right. So pray. Okay. Wow. All right. So let's pray for Hannah Stark, hurt her back. And then also pray for Trace, who it is his birthday today, and he's going to be traveling this week to Washington, so where he'll be. for a while with his unit. So pray for his safety and recovery. So. All right. Anyone else to add to these? Yes, sir. That's it, Tom. Okay. All right, so we've been praying for last week for Tate, unexpected death, and so his funeral is this Tuesday. So pray for them. The gospel go forth. So. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's... So praying for Roger, asking prayer for a potential job. So Lord would open that up if it be his will. So yes. Okay, yes. So Rose is on the road traveling to Minnesota. And let's pray for Colette Stein, former pastor's daughter, and I don't know the details, but it sounds like she's having some serious health complications there, so pray for God to work and comfort that family. So. Yes, Charlotte. Okay. Health. Okay. Oh, okay. So Donna is still lingering from her latest surgery and so needs continued prayer for her health. So. All right, thank you for that update. Doug, you want to give an update on that Bible distribution? Good. Praise the Lord. So praying for that, and appreciate your prayers for the ongoing jail ministry. And Nick, I got a gnat up here. It's really the devil's up here trying to distract me. So, so it's a exciting. Had an opportunity. Doug was able to talk to him again, and just need to see God working in a new believer, and that's always an encouragement. So very good. So. And okay, all right, God can move mountains, so we'll pray that the Lord will soften her to the gospel. So Deb Hall in the jail. So. All right, anyone to add to these? Oh yes, sir. Can Ah, okay. All right, pray for the Mosses and for the, those kind of sounds notorious for those things catching fire.
Well, in fact, there were like half of the crew had to leave midway through because we had a call for a bail.
Oh, my. So it's happening. So we'll pray for, Lord, provide for your needs. So, all right, pray for their bailer. They'll get another one, so. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Matt. Okay. All right. Okay, all right, let's pray for Sally with going through a test for her heart that have good, clear results on that. So. Okay. Yes, sir.
I think I'll have appointments coming today. Like most of my friends, most
of the two, and he's not here. Okay, oh, an unbeliever possibly to come today, so a friend of Doug's, so let's pray that they do come. Being very encouraging. So. All right, anyone else? You're good. A lot to pray for this week. And very good. We had an appointment for Elizabeth this week, and they were able to take her off her blood pressure medicine and things like that. So just an update on those things. So we're just thanking the Lord. And boy, health is not a given. And but it's a precious gift from the Lord. So we're thankful for that. So it's good. All right. And if you want to pray for us as well, we're going to be traveling up Monday and coming back Tuesday from a pastor's fellowship in Manhattan, Kansas. So we'll be a couple hours away, but not too far away if you need us. But it's our annual October Kansas pastors getting together, several speakers and things. So pray for my encouragement and be able to, not that I'm discouraged, but Lord, lift me up, give me what I need, and be a blessing to other pastors in the state. So. Yes? Yes, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, we definitely want to pray for her, so thanks for making sure that was mentioned. So. Okay, very good. Anyone else has anything? All right, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles here, and we're kind of examining some important verses of Scripture. Lord willing, we should go to bring to conclusion our topic on the judgment seat of Christ. And so this is definitely kind of pulling things together. If you does anyone remember some of the things that God is particularly interested in and at the judgment seat? Anybody remember one of those things? Our words, yeah, that's going to be absolutely every idle word that we speak. And we went over that on Wednesday night because we went through Ezekiel, and we looked at the individual judgments that God gave upon those nations. And almost every single one of them, when God was dealing with the other nations, he just chose a phrase that they said, that they spoke. And he said, all right, because you said this, this is the judgment that's going to come. And ultimately, the words reveal the heart. It's good. Works, all right? So the things that we do in our body, and so the deeds, so that can be kind of a big overarching topic. And then there's a lot of things that can be looked at in terms underneath those things. Yeah, the secrets of the heart, why we did what we did, and even the intentions behind things that may have seemed like they failed, but God saw the heart that we were doing it for the Lord, and that means a lot to Him. So, yes, what He wants to know, to whom much has been given, much shall be required. What we have, what was the blessings that He gave to us, and how did we use those things for Him? That's important. Good. All right. Anyone else remember anything else? That's okay. Ah, that's an important thing that the Lord is working on. So He wants to know because ultimately how we treat one another is going to be the standard by which He judges us. It's a pretty big deal. If you judge others and you are critical of them and you have no mercy, God says, well, it's just how it's going to be. It's going to be just. And that's something I'm going through in my Bible this year, is just circling every time I put the word justice, and I'm tracking it through the Bible, and hopefully someday I'll be able to go back and trace them and put them together in a document of some kind. But it's just all through the Scripture on the justice of God. So, really good. All right, those are some really good things. We're going to give an account, which means that, specifically, that means we are going to speak at the judgment. We are going to give a word. And so it's not going to just be, I don't know whether how it's all going to be out, you know, how long it's going to take or what those things, but the Lord can do everything in a twinkling of an eye. He can. There's no constraint on Him with time and those type of things. But I think we're going to give an account for everything, so there's going to be an element of God works through our lives, and we're going to have to speak to God. And I think that's going to be important. I've got some verses of Scripture, I think, that in Ezekiel that I was reading through that was helpful to me in understanding that even just giving an account, even acknowledging God as being right and myself being wrong, is part of what brings him glory. And things have not been resolved until we've acknowledged him as right. And if that means acknowledging ourselves as wrong in that process, it needs to be made right through that process. So we're going to come to this place. So there's two things that we want to wrap up here, and that is that we are going to receive a reward. And that is one of the most exciting things. The Lord wants us to anticipate his coming because his rewards are with him. It should motivate us to want to serve. And I think there's an element that we need to think through. What is it? Why would God reward us? Because there's times when, you know, there may be an element, and it sounds really good, that we ought to do it for God and not for the reward. But the Lord says, I'm going to reward you. And so the element and the emphasis that this finds in Scripture, I think, should ultimately put away that there's two different motivations, that those two things, you can do it for the Lord and for the reward that he wants to give you. The first reason that God is going to reward you is because God is not unjust. He's no man's debtor. And you did something for him, he will balance that in terms of he is going, and not in terms of it's going to be equal. I think it's going to be more, it's going to be my little effort with his great grace. But at the same time, we're going to look back and no one is going to be making sacrifices that were unrewarded. No one's going to look at their life and say, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. I gave up all that for the Lord and this is what I got. No one is going to say that. Part of we looked at this last time, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you minister to the saints and do minister. God, he would see it himself as being unrighteous, unjust, if he simply forgot what you did for his name. So it won't happen. It's just as sure as God will not allow a filthy sinner to enter into heaven, he will not allow a sanctified saint to enter into heaven without a reward for what they have done for his name. And so that's a really encouraging aspect. And the other part of it is that God wants to inspire our labor. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. He's told us that there's a reward so that we wouldn't quit and that we would keep on going and keep on serving the Lord, even when it's difficult. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Am I just reasoning? Or is this not also something that also the law says? For it is written, here's the commandment, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And did God say this just to take care of oxen so that they would have food? Or did he say it all together for us so that we would have a spiritual principle to live by? He says, no doubt it was written for our sakes, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. While you're working and you're plowing, and I think what's motivating the farmer to till up the ground and to go through all that work and to do the threshing, and you're getting all that grain, everything that's usable, because you have an expectation that there's going to be some bread at the end of this thing. You're going to have some food that you and others can enjoy. And God says, that's the same principle. That while you are laboring, you ought to think in your mind, there's a reward that's coming for this. I don't know exactly everything that it is, but I know it's going to be good. And I'm going to keep on going. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." You need to have this in your mind. Know these things while you do everything wholeheartedly for the Lord Himself. And that should motivate us to do everything with a wholeheartedness because of the reward. And then the other reason here is that the reward gives glory to God. We can turn over to 1 Peter. We're going to cover this verse next year. 1 Peter 1:7. We'll see. 1:7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." There's an element that we do, we'll have to examine. What does this mean? Praise and honor and glory. Who's getting the praise? Who's getting the honor? Who's getting the glory? And I think there's an element, the case probably to be made, though I haven't studied it out entirely, though I've looked at this verse in the past, where I think you can see it both ways. That when God gives you praise for the faith that you demonstrated in Him, He is going to get the glory and the honor for your faith. Ultimately, you are kept by the power of God, verse 5 says, through faith. So your faith, that you might be praised of God for, that we're going to look at in a moment, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faith-filled servant, faithful." He is going to receive the glory for what we are able to do for Him. It's interesting, Revelation 19, 7 through 8 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." The bride of Christ has made herself ready through the righteousness, the righteous deeds that they are doing. Now, that's not apart from God. That's not apart from the righteousness that He's given to them. It's righteousness that He is empowering through them. But that's just the point. If He's doing the work and He's doing the flushing out His life through us, He gets the praise and the glory for what He has done. I remember the illustration that was used for you've got these dog shows. And you've got these dogs that'll run along and jump up on something and jump through a hoop and this way and that way, and that the master can just give a little whistle and a little, and they're obedient, they're fast, they're doing all these things. And the one that wins, the dog gets to be there, and wow, this is a great dog. But you know who, the dog gets praise, but who's standing right beside them in those pictures? The master, the one who trained them. And they get the praise and the honor for what they have done through this. And that's just a small little picture. And yet God, He says, is it an honor to the husband that the bride has made herself ready? I mean, if you came to a wedding and the girl comes in, "Oh no, I'm not dressed for it." And I'm not, you'd be thinking, "Are you sure this marriage is going to work?" This one just wasn't that important to her, right? No, I'm sure I don't. No. But the reality is, Jesus Christ is going to receive glory and honor because His bride has made herself ready by the fine linen that she is able to wear. When the 4 and 20 elders at the round the throne of God, they cast, I think those are a representation of all the saints of God from the Old Testament and New Testament, and we went over that when we went through Revelation, but it says that they cast their crowns before the throne. He has granted them crowns, and yet they take those crowns and they say, "You get the glory for all that we have done. Don't you want to have a crown of praise to give to the Lord for what He has done through you? His blessing, His life, His grace. Live for the reward. Live for the glory of God. And so, what are those rewards that God is going to give to us? Well, there are rewards of substance, of actual treasures. What does that mean? I'm not sure. If you want to, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 34. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds pretty materialistic. Well, we're going to be living in a material universe in God's heaven. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. And he says, "For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods." So here, these were believers who were losing material possessions. They were being spoiled. And the context of that was probably in light of their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing in yourselves, even though your stuff was, people are going inside your house and taking stuff out, and yet you were still joyful. How could that be possible? Because you knew that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. I'm going to live somewhere forever. And I'm going to have all the things that I need. I'm going to have probably my heart's desires there that I never had down here. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about the things that I don't have here or now, or what someone might take from me. That's the spirit that we can have, knowing that there is a substance that is even better. Matthew 19:29 says, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses," so we're talking about things, you left a house. You could have had something a whole lot better than what you have, but you left it for God's sake. He says, "Or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold." Wow. What God notes and says, these are the things that you gave up for me. Enter into my kingdom. I've got some rewards for you. And it's going to be substance. It's going to be things. The Bible talks about this and calls it, the word is inheritance. You've got an inheritance coming. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. God has treasures for you. So not only are there rewards of substance, but there are also rewards of positions. Matthew 25, in terms of these parables that are used, the parable at the end, when the reward is given to those stewards who were faithful with what God did, in Matthew 24:47, he says, "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." All right, you were faithful in little things. I'm going to lift you up into a position of authority amongst others. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." The disciples are told that they are going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation 22 says, "He has made us kings and priests before God." You are going to have authority in a kingdom. You say, if you think heaven's going to be a boring place, you got another thing coming. It's going to be a place of immense responsibilities and great fulfillment in doing all that God has given you to do. And what we do with the things now that He's given to us, the positions that He's granted to us, and how we use those things. In fact, in Revelation 3:21, He says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne." Then said to sit beside me, He says, "Sit with me." I don't know, there's an element of, if you said, okay, think of all the believers. If I was to imagine, my first imagination is everybody sitting around him. Imagine everyone sitting with him. He's so great. He's so large. He's so big. All the believers of all the ages sit with him in his throne, administering and carrying out. I mean, we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. It's just an amazing element. Just as the Father, he sits down with the Father in his throne. You are administering the authority of Jesus Christ over his. So it's going to be wonderful. There's going to be positions to be had that God's going to admit, give out to his believers. And then also there are what we might call emblematic rewards. Rewards that are tokens, maybe of greater significance beyond what we can understand. Revelation 3:5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will confess his name before my Father." So you have the right of access to all of everything he has. I mean, it's just, if you ever go to a place and you're like, wow, this is a really fun activity place. You go up to Kansas City, and they got lots of things to see at the zoo and stuff like that. But if you go to the zoo, you can also get yourself a pass that allows you to go on all the activities. They give you a band. Now, that band's not really that significant, but the band is an emblem that you've got access to everything in the park, and you can do it for free as much as you want to do it. He says, you're going to wear the white garments. It gives you access to everything and God's eternal blessing. Revelation 3:11, "I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." God's going to give us crowns. He's going to sit upon our heads. It's going to be a beautiful thing. There's multiple aspects that we could go into there. There's the crown of life and the crown of righteousness and a crown of glory. Multiple different crowns that you could look to. And it's going to be an element of, again, we're going to be able to cast those crowns before the Lord. So it's not going to be about strutting around heaven with, look at me, and I'm going to keep all my crowns on my head. You know. But it really is going to be, thank the Lord for what he gave me, for what he did through me. So he didn't just save me from the pit of hell. He enabled me to live the way that he wanted me. He gave me a calling, and then he rewarded me for what he did. It's going to be all the grace of God, and we're going to be so thankful. I said we're going to be proud of those crowns, but it's not going to be proud of us. It's going to be worn boasting in our God and who he is and what he's done for us. The Bible says that he that overcometh, he will be able to eat of the tree of life. There's a beautiful picture there of this access and the life and the restoration to the tree of life in the garden in the beginning. The Bible talks about being able to eat the hidden manna and having a white stone and a stone with a new name. Can you imagine that God may give you a special name? And it says that no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth it. You'll have a special name from God that nobody else knows about. You think you're special to God? You think that there's a one-on-one relationship with him and you? You will have it for all of eternity. It'll be beautiful. It'll be glorious. And then, lastly, there is going to be vocal rewards. And that is in 1 Corinthians 4:5. We've read this verse before. He says, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God." Every person in this room, every believer, will receive a vocal praise from God Almighty. Because he's done something in you. He's done something through you. And he's going to thank you for that. He is going to praise you. We talk about this so much that we want to hear our Lord say, "Well done. You did good." I'll pick on James here. My son came to me this morning. He said, "I saw Mr. Stark." And he said, he singled me out and he said, "The yard looks really nice today." That praise meant more to him than the money that he got in doing that. That relationship with God is going to mean more to you than all the inheritance that God would look at us and praise us. Live for the reward. Does this action please my Lord? Remember, that's the determination. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is supposed to make us think about. It's not about pleasing my brother or pleasing this person, or do I want to do it? Is it my liberty? No, you have the liberty to please the Lord. Whether you live to the Lord. Whether you die, it's the Lord's concern. It's for Him. Your whole life's in His hands. Everything about you, your very breath is at His pleasure. Use it for Him. And He will reward you. Okay, 10 minutes. Good. We want to spend a lot of time on the positive. Let's just spend a little bit of time on the negative. Will we be judged? Now, there are some that would say, no, there's because of our standing in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says there is no condemnation. We are passed from death to life. There is no condemnation. Therefore, the judgment seat of Christ will only be a positive experience from what we were talking about. And that sounds like a wonderful position to have. That might be something I might enjoy, preaching that position. And I'm not saying that that's the reason why they do it. If you have that position, you hold to that, you can have biblical reasons for that. But I think that positionally, being in Christ, having a position in which there is no condemnation for your sin, you'll never bear the wrath of God. It's all been forgiven. But still, that does not mean that a relationship with God doesn't mean that you can experience displeasure from Him. That He cannot be upset and chasten true believers. In fact, the Bible says He chastens every believer whom He loves. He receives them and scourges them to get them to that place. And that is, it's not a separation, it's not a disagreement from. And so I think there's an important aspect that in the judgment, it will be noted whether we have confessed that sin to God. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. So, I'm probably going to speak out of both sides of my mouth if I got the time. I only got 5 minutes, so we'll see what we can do. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." This is in the context of taking the Lord's Supper. And He's saying, I want you to confess your sin. Don't eat and drink of this unworthily. Get things right with the Lord. And He says, if you will judge yourself, you will not be judged. Isn't that amazing? God, in the context of this, is really chastening upon the earth. So I don't know if that necessarily applies to, but I think the principle probably applies. But I think about things, not that if what you're hearing is, and some people have said these type of things, well, you know, I'll just live a life pleasing myself, and at the end of it, I'll just come toward the end and I'll say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins that I've done, and boy, whew, I've missed it. I don't think that's going to be how it's going to work. We are still going to give a word for how we lived our life. But I think there is something to this where if you will confess that sin to the Lord, it's going to make a big difference in regards to how that whole scenario, everything is going to be packaged together in terms of not only what you did wrong, but how did you respond to how you did wrong. And what did you do with the voice of God who was pricking you and convincing you? Because that seems to be when you talk about Israel and God's dealing with them. He talks about their abominations, but he talks about how they were rebellious and wouldn't listen. And they wouldn't stop the things that they were doing. And so I think that's an element that comes into factor. Interesting, I'll just read this verse that I found in Ezekiel. I'm not sure if it necessarily applies, but I'm going to give it to you. Ezekiel 18:22. All his transgressions... All right, let me stop back. Verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes and do which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. That's not teaching a works righteousness, but there is a point, that aspect of when you are made righteous, you will have works that demonstrate that. It will be transformed. I think that's the aspect in which these things are happening. When God says, you know all those transgressions you did? They won't be mentioned to you. That's very interesting. Does that apply to the judgment? Maybe. I think there's an element that says, you say, man, I've been doing a lot of things wrong. The Bible answer to that is, repent of what you've done. Turn from your ways. If the Holy Spirit's pointing out things in your life that need to change, respond right now. It's going to have an impact when you stand at the judgment. Don't cast it off and say, oh, I'm already going to have to answer for all that stuff, so I'll keep on living the way I always did. No, that's not the right response. All right, let's see if I can bring this to a conclusion here. But the Bible does mention that we will receive some form of possible chastisement at the judgment. And this, I believe, does not contradict our perfect standing before the blood of Christ. You say, well, I have a perfect standing before God. Yes, I do. But do you know, when do I have that perfect standing before God? When I get to heaven? Or do I have it right now? I've got it right now. But is it possible for the Lord to be displeased with me? Oh. So yeah, I can stand before the Lord and be perfectly in the eyes of the Father. I'm in the Son. There's no condemnation. And yet He can deal with me individually and say, Ben, that wasn't right. That response wasn't good. You need to make it right. He does that with me now. I know He can do it with them then. I'll just give you some verses here and we'll bring it to a close. Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. If ye call on the Father, this is a child relationship. You are the child to the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. He's going to judge us as his Father. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. He's talking about brethren. You will be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He shall have judgment without mercy. He's talking to believers in James 2:13. Look to yourselves, 2 John 1:8, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. He said there's a possibility that through your actions you could lose the full reward that God is doing. Look to yourselves, take heed. God the Spirit is working in your life so you can receive that full reward. Don't silence His voice. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Not fire in terms of us being burnt up or being purged. The idea is our work will be manifest, and yet it's going to be described as a fiery experience. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. The aspect of shame. Show a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Apostle Paul says it in this way. When I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway means that I was disapproved. That I, as I was preaching to others, that God would look at my life and say, and not give the approval. And he says, I'm keeping myself on my body. I'm trying to be subjective in all things so that I'm listening to the Lord because I want. There's a fear that he had of being disapproved by the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:24 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. Some people, their sins are made manifest in this life. And he says, and some men, they follow after. Some men's sins are going to be really made manifest in the judgment. And so there's an aspect that says, just because no one knows about it, I'm getting away with it. It's better for it to be exposed now. That's what happens when someone's sin is exposed. And it may happen in the church or may happen in a family or something like this. It really is the blessing of God to make your sin be seen now. So how are we supposed to respond to all this? Make sure, yeah, two things here. We should respond in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It ought to make us quake. And if I have preached this correctly, there is a little bit of unnerving that has gone on in our lives. But it also should make our ambition. I'll share one more. Just Hebrews 12:28, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12. And our ambition, because of this, we must want to please the Lord Jesus. I think I've already mentioned that. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, wherefore we labor. This is my whole ambition in life. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of the Lord. All of my actions, all of my ministry, all of my parenting, all of my conversation, will it be accepted of the Lord? That should be the driving motivation that's driving my life. Sorry. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. The Apostle Paul, I mean, we almost could camp out on that because, in fact, we're past time. I'm going to come back and focus in on that because you know what we can have when we go to the judgment? You can have boldness. Holy boldness, ready to stand before your Lord. The Apostle Paul said he had it. And we'll talk about how we can have that too. So that's a great place to come back to. And we'll keep going. Thank you so much. You guys are dismissed.